Hey, how's it going? Tommy Taylor here.
And I'm Desnica, and welcome to the Marriage 2.0 podcast.
Couple that went through just about everything bad someone can go through in marriage quadruple times over and came out more in love than ever and using our story to inspire and give hope to the world.
Since we've come out of our version of hell on earth, we have built a global marriage coaching business mentoring hundreds of couples and individuals all around the world.
We've helped them fix issues like affair recovery, communication, intimacy issues, addictions, and all forms of abuse when no one else could.
We've gone through all of these things plus so much more, so we get it.
We tried everything out there from counseling, therapy, intensives, webinars, hundreds of books, and even tactics like slow to speak, quick to listen.
And the truth is, all of those things were just band-aids that left us on an emotional roller coaster from hell.
We truly believe that when you couple a heart for God and a strong desire for massive action, anything is possible.
But honestly, most of us are never given the right knowledge.
The Marriage 2.0 podcast shares interviews from the world's most successful people in business, sports, health, entertainment, and finance in order to help you live the purpose-filled life God designed for you so that you can live an inspiring life filled with more freedom, love, and impact.
So get ready to learn the stuff that no one ever taught you about marriage. Your old marriage is dead and Marriage 2.0 starts now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the next episode. So today we're going to be talking about people-pleasing.
Turn. Right. It's a big one.
Yeah, like this is huge for a lot of people. We're going to go really in-depth for you, but people really wear this as like a badge of honor a lot of times. And it's like they got this, I like to think of it's like they got this like Cub Scout badge of like wilderness explorer and or something, whatever, right? And they just wear it around like just letting everyone else know how good of a person they are. And, you know, in my opinion, more like letting everyone else know how to take advantage of them, be honest with you though.
Yeah. And these type of people are the type of people that are there for everyone. And they're there for all their friends, their family, just like associates. They're there for like everyone in their life except themselves. They, you know, they're not there for themselves because they're always running around like fixing problems and those aspects. And, you know, everyone else for the most part tells them that they're an amazing person, that they think they're a great person. They're like, oh, I appreciate you so much and you do so much. And, you know, they're getting like all of this external praise but it's that trap, right? They're actually constantly seeking that external validation that they're getting. And, you know, I will say like, this is the same type of person that's constantly feeling drained, used, like they feel used all the time, that no one really likes them for them. And it's just like, what can I do for the people instead? And it builds a lot of resentment, especially to those who are closest to them. And not only do I know this from, you know, all of the people we coach and like this is a very common aspect, but what we're going to be talking about today really talks about also where I used to struggle. So everything that we're going to discuss today, I have personally gone through and I have that understanding. And I'll also tell you, like, I also know how freeing it is to be on the other side as well.
Yeah. And it's one of those things where you're going to get both perspectives because I did it to a very, very, very small degree, minute, but for the most part, and that was more around in more conversations, but more of it was definitely for sure on her end, but it was one of those things where you'll get, the cool thing here is you'll get both sides from it, both perspectives here, just so that you can kind of get a clear sense of what's really going on here, which is kind of cool.
Absolutely. And so what we're going to be talking about today is, you know, how does people pleasing actually show up? What is the truth about people pleasing, the pitfalls of people pleasing, and how to stop it?
Yep. So the first thing is, how does this show up? Well, there's several different ways. There's a lot of different ways this shows up.
And
I'm sure, honestly,
we're just going to hit on some.
May miss some here. I don't know. But, you know, being there for the kids all the time, meaning that their life revolves around the kids being first, or at least most of the time first in everything. And you're like, well, what's bad about that? You should always put your kids first. I'm going to put my kids first, blah, 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 blah. Well, cool for you, right? But another, you know, it's not healthy. And, you know, we'll talk about this, like, actually, I'll just go ahead and mention it. Like, it's a lack of the right priorities issues here. So meaning it's supposed to be God first, then you in a self-care way, not selfish, but self-care, then your spouse and marriage, then your kids, then your business, work, purpose, then extended family and friends from there. And when you do it in this order, it's not right. It's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And so, and I used to put the kids first too, in all aspects. It was like always the kids, and I didn't have time for me, you know, in a lot of those aspects. And, you know, it was very draining, and I came from a place of emptiness versus from a place of being full. But also, how does it show up? It also, like, people pleasing also shows up in where you're constantly putting out fires for friends, for family, maybe even at work. You know, just people are bringing problems to your attention, and you're like, okay, well, you know, this is how you can fix it. This is what you need to do. And, you know, do you want me to help you? And of course they say yes. So then, you know, you're like, okay, so I can come over and I can do, you know, X, Y, Z. And now you're juggling all of everyone else's problems, intermixed with your day as well, right? So you just totally threw your whole, like, original plan out the window. Now you're incorporating solving everyone else's problems. And let's just be real. When you start saying yes to fixing people's problems, it doesn't just happen like that one time or like once every now and then where someone's asking you. But no, it becomes constantly. Like, it becomes their crutch. So then this is the new normal where you're going to be constantly, like, putting out all these fires.
You know, and honestly, the other side of this, the way it comes out is, like, you know, they'll be like, well, I'm going to go do this because they need this and this. I'm like, and I would used to be like, why? Why?
like why? I got to go do all these things.
Why? Like, so some of the times, not all, but some of the times it was an inconvenience and I had to do something involved with it. And it was really annoying. I was like, I don't care about them enough to really want to do that. And it's like, I got other priorities. And so, you know, it's a lot of times people that, and she would say, well, oh, it's this person, or, oh, it's because they're this friend, or, oh, whatever. Right. And it's like, so I'm like, I don't know. I never had an attachment to it, so I didn't really care. And so for me, it was just like, I was looked at probably as more of selfish, probably. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I posted about this yesterday, actually. But those with no boundaries are the first to disrespect people that actually do have boundaries. And they see people that do have boundaries, not as really having boundaries, but just as selfish, to be honest.
Yes. And that is a hard struggle. And, you know, that's a lot to dive into with that statement. And it took me a long time to have a lot of those realizations. But in this aspect, like, you know, not saying no, that was something I didn't know how to do. Not only did I not like being told no, that was I did not like being told no, but I also didn't think that I was able to say no. So, you know, whether it be work or friends or family, I didn't say no. And so I would have so much on my plate that, one, it was impossible to do everything. And, you know, it would be like, okay, I have to wake up earlier. I have to stay up later. I'm running myself ragged. No, you know, I had original plans to do this and this for myself, but, you know, I told so-and-so that I would go take care of, you know, whatever it is they needed. So now I don't have time. So I'll just cut out, you know, my time, because, you know, that's something easy to say no to, easy in the moment, right? And be able to go handle all these things. And so it shows up in that aspect. And especially, you know, this thing at work, I'll say that's a very big and common one too. People don't say no at work. And so they end up working more and more, and they'll work overtime and take, you know, extra projects, and, you know, they're working at home and they'll work on their vacation. And it's like, no, you can say no, right? Like, you don't have to say yes to everything. At the end of the day, especially at work, if something happens to you, you'd be easily replaced. Like, they would replace you, right? But you can't be replaced with friends and, or, like, with your family and those aspects. So, like, take care of yourself.
Yeah. Another one is being a verbal trash can to friends and family. This is a lot of times they'll be there. Oh, that shoulder. That shoulder. You mean the verbal trash can. Don't call it a shoulder. It's a verbal trash can. Just be honest with yourself. And it's where you show up and you're just like, here to hear about their problems all the time. And it's thinking like, oh, I'm there for them. But it's like, dude, no, you're not being there for them. you're actually just being a verbal trash can for them. And then they get off the phone with you or get out of that conversation with you. And then they go about their day after they used you.
And you're still carrying it all. And then you're trying to solve it too, because it's not when after you hear all of that, you're not just like, okay, one, like there's a lot of negative energy attached to that. And then you're carrying it. Then you're trying, then you're ruminating into like their problems. Like, oh, it's just, you know, I feel so bad. And how can we fix it? And, you know, now you're going into that fix it. And so also that leads into people pleasing. A lot of times they see themselves as a fixer and like, you know, oh, I just have to fix it. They want to fix people, fix issues, and just, you know, I can fix it. I got to fix it. And they actually end up in a lot of really bad relationships because they find people who they feel like they can fix, and they go into it, into the relationship as a fixer. And this could be like friends, and this isn't just marriage, but like even just friends in that aspect, they'll attract people who, you know, they're trying to fix in that aspect. And so it's constantly like a project and an outpour. And then when they're not fixing it, because it's not our place to fix other people, like even Tommy and I, like even coaching people, we don't fix people. We actually teach people how to fix things themselves, right? Like we're not the savior by any means.
No.
Right. And so like, otherwise, like that would just be incredibly draining. And then if you're trying to do all the work for someone else, it's not going to happen. So what happens is when it fails, because it will fail, because they have to be the ones to do that work, you're going to end up feeling like a failure and needing to work harder. And so you're going to work harder and harder, and then feeling like a failure and a failure. And it's a negative, very toxic downward spiral.
Yeah. And oftentimes these people, because they tend to like be the verbal trash can, the fixer, those types of things to other people, they think, oh, I'm a good person. So they think that, okay, well, when they come on with work to work with us, they think, oh, well, I'm a good person with that, so they must do this too. And they expect us to be a verbal trash can. They expect us to just jump to their every whim. And I tell clients, like I tell from the very beginning, I am not here to work for you. You get to work with me. It's that simple. This is a paid mentorship. I don't work for you. I don't jump to your every whim. I'm not here to enable you to create codependent relationship with you. Like she said, I'm not here to be your savior. Like I'm here to help you be your own. And like, you'll find that like for me, and I know for her now, this point, like if someone like has, someone tries to be friends with us, and I'm going away from clients here for a second, but if someone tries to be friends with us or something like that, and they're very people pleasing, it's a turnoff to us. It's not something that we're attracted to whatsoever at this point in our lives.
No, because it knows one. And actually what's funny is a lot of times people who are people pleasers, you really can't rely on them because they typically take on way too much. So they're constantly on the run. They're not fully present when they are around. Like, so when you are having conversations and that, they're in that like frantic panic state because they have so much on their plate that they can't actually focus and be present. So, you know, they're not truly showing up in the relationship, and they typically take on too much. So they're late a lot, or they cancel out a lot because they've just taken on too much.
And it's not a priority. Let's just put it that way too. Like, it's also not a priority. Like, these are the same type of people that will not show up to calls and be no shows on calls, and they won't. And they're the same type of people that will disrespect your time. And it goes back to saying like, oh, like, well, I have other you do have other priorities. This is not a priority for you. Just to be honest with you, I would rather do this and people please than do this. It's just what it is. And so like when it boils down to it, these are also the same type of people that will usually disrespect people's time that actually have boundaries, standards, and priorities in their life.
Yeah. And so the last couple of things here about how does this show up? And of course, like we said earlier, this shows up in a lot of ways. But, you know, one, they suppress themselves in conversation. So you don't really hear a lot of what they actually think, feel, want, desire, their goals in life and those aspects. They typically suppress themselves. And it's like what they feel like you want to hear in that order to, you know, and to just have that acceptance. And they'll also go with what everyone else wants to keep the peace. So, you know, they don't typically speak up for, you know, what they actually like or what they want to do or anything like that, because they just want to keep the peace, right? So that whole people pleasing aspect, but that builds a lot of resentment, because then it's like, well, I wanted to do ABC, but we didn't do it, right? And it's internal, but it's those walls are starting to stack and that resentment and bitterness, you know. And I know a lot of amazing, you know, people naturally, like, they have a really good heart, but they fell into this people pleasing aspect. And so as they get older, you know, they're full of just like bitterness and resentment. And it's like, what happened to you? And it's just that, like, your cup fills up eventually. It does. Like, it empties and then it fills up, but not with like anything that you want to share. It fills up with that bitterness and resentment. And then that's where you end up isolated because no one wants to be around that, especially, you know, so pushing everyone away with all these artificial relationships. Once you, and that's the aspect. So going into the truth about people pleasing in this aspect, they're not actual solid relationships. When you are a like people pleasing, and I found this too for myself, right? And all these things I was doing all these things for everyone. And then when I stopped fixing all their problems and doing everything for them, I wasn't of use to them. And like, they didn't want to be friends no more, right? And it's because it wasn't a true relationship. True relationships aren't selfish in having that, like, oh, you have to do for me in that aspect, right? Like, no. And, but you, people pleasing creates these relationships that are all dependent upon action and having to earn love. And then at the end of the day, they're just like, oh, I just want to be accepted for me. And, yep, you know, they created their whole life around these artificial relationships.
So you're not going to want to hear this, but the truth is it's 100% selfish and manipulative to be a people pleaser. I'm not going to lie to you. There is some part of it, a small part of it, that is a good part of your heart, like in some way, shape, or form, I'm sure. But most of it is selfish and manipulative.
And don't check out, and I understand this is, but let's be open.
We're not saying this from a judgmental standpoint.
No, and it's actually really freeing once you have these understandings and you're able to break free from this, because, you know, this was really hard for me as well to take these things into account and be like, wow, like, you know, I was being selfish in those aspects, even though I thought I was so amazing. So, you know, it's one of these aspects that's very humbling, and it's also going to be a great like light at the end of the tunnel for you if you're open to hearing.
But you got to have a growth mindset.
Yeah.
You got to be willing to be open-minded. If you're not, if you have a fixed mindset, no one can help you. I'm sorry to tell you that, but that doesn't matter if you're a people pleaser or not. This is what it is. However, you're probably like, I'm not selfish and manipulative. I'm a great person. Everyone loves me. I used to hear her say that all the freaking time.
I did say that. Everyone did love me.
Oh my gosh. They didn't love you. They used you. So like, it was, it was one of those things. Well, first of all, just humble yourself for just a second and just humor us here. We're going to explain it. So people pleasing at the core is selfish and manipulative, because when you do something called, that we developed, called an extraction cycle, it's our own process that we developed, and that, you know, we help you get to deep-rooted beliefs, really deep-rooted, four levels down the subconscious. We see, so this is super deep. This is the innermost version of you. Where God created you, all of those things, at a very core level. There's some things there, some faults and stuff, the way God didn't create you, but they're there regardless of their social programming or whatever it might be. But the people pleaser is all about wanting to feel what? Loved, valued, seen, appreciated, liked, needed, purposeful there, meaning that their purpose is actually tied up into people. If I don't fix it, I'm not needed or I'm a bad person. And they also confuse, I would also say, an additional thing here for the women's side, Proverbs 31.
Absolutely. And these are 100% of, you know, in those aspects, like, that I had felt. Like, I fell into all of these aspects, right? Like, I wanted to be loved. I wanted to be wanted and to be valued and appreciated. And it was like, oh, I have to earn it. I have to earn my love and acceptance, right? Like, I have to, you know, I'm going to be unwanted or I'll be unloved. There was no true confidence or true identity when I was in this position, when I was just all about people pleasing. You know, I didn't know who Desnica was. I was what everyone needed. I was like, I liked what everyone else liked. Like, I didn't know who I was because I was so consumed with taking care of everyone else, whether it be the kids or Tommy or, you know, sacrificing my own morals and standards at work and, you know, all of these other aspects in order to, you know, keep the peace and stuff. So, you know, and it's in this aspect of people pleasing, like, uses other people does things for others in order to get that void filled, like filled in that aspect of, you know, hey, look, see, I am loved. I am valued. And it is like an addiction. It's like an addiction and a compulsive need to get these things met. And there is actual chemical reactions in those aspects too going on. So that's why it's not like, oh, I can just say, stop it.
Well, yeah. The person here would probably be saying right now in their mind or to us on this podcast, it's like, well, why is it so bad to feel loved, valued, seen, appreciated? It's not.
No, it's not.
We're not saying it's bad to feel those things. It's not bad to want those things. However, it's all about the context. Number one, if you need to feel loved from someone else in a way where, like, number one, the people pleasers here don't even love themselves, clearly, because they're not loving themselves. So they need external validation to feel loved. And if someone else isn't filling their cup with what I call love, what they call love, and it's like, I use air quotes here, they're not being filled up. And so, like, it's one of those things where, like, it's all about the context, the valued aspect of things. Like, number one, like, identity plays a big role here. I know I'm loved. I love myself. I'm loved. I know I'm valued. I value myself. I know I'm seen. But do I need to be seen by others and valued by others? No. And not at all. I'm good. Do I need to be appreciated by others? No, I don't. Do I need to be liked by others? No.
Yeah, that's...
I don't.
And just for clarity, that's something like you didn't always struggle with, right, of being liked. And I'll say that I came from like an extreme compulsive need to be liked by others. And it was compulsive. Like it was an extreme, like I wanted everyone to like me. And the thought of someone not liking me destroyed me. I was like, why not? Right. And what do I need to do to make them like me? And that's part of that people pleasing and like that aspect of, you know, that's not healthy. Right. Like when I have to put my identity in what everyone else thinks and what everyone else feels. And, you know, at that point, like I'm putting myself out of existence because I'm saying I don't matter. And it's just what everyone else thinks, no matter what's going on with them. Right. And how unhealthy they are, what they're going through, what they think is the truth about me. And it's very depressing. And this is why people do struggle with like depression or in the anxiety. Anxiety comes about a lot with this people pleasing because it's like, oh, like, I have to make them like me. Why don't they like me? I have to do more. Let me. And what else can I do? What else can I do? Right. And it makes you sound crazy.
And needy.
Yeah.
Very needy.
You know, when I said that, like that, you're probably like, whoa, okay. Wow. Desnica. But that's internal dialogue going on with people in these aspects. Like what else can I do? Can I do this? Can I do that? And I'm like, oh, like, I don't know. And then like, it's a completely chaotic mess inside your head and your emotions. And then people wonder why they're all over the place. Right.
Also like what I will say here, in addition to that is, being needed, like, I have people in my life that at the moment, right, they're clients, they need us, right? But we're transitioning them to not needing us, obviously. Mm-hmm. But Destinica doesn't need me.
I do not need you, Tommy. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I don't need her. I don't need her whatsoever either. Do I want her? Does she want me? Yes. But do we need each other? Absolutely not.
Why would you not want all this sexiness, Tommy? Yeah,
want it, yes. Want it, yes, definitely, for sure, all the time. But need it? No, absolutely not. I don't need her. She doesn't need me. And people end up tying their purpose to being needed. Like, they tie their purpose to people. They tie their purpose to being a fixer. They tie their purpose to being a people pleaser. They tie their purpose to other people's pain and being there for them and being, like, the support. And the reality is that's not your identity. It's not your purpose.
And this actually ends up really cycling. And, you know, when you're taking on all of these people, like everyone else's problems, you put yourself in very vulnerable and bad situations that you shouldn't be in. You're accepting things in your life that you typically wouldn't accept. And, you know, this is going into like those pitfalls of people pleasing, you know, and there has been so many people that we've helped that they have put themselves in some really bad situations, you know, of, I can't even tell you like all the different aspects. It's just, you know, putting themselves in, you know, being taken advantage of financially, being taken advantage of physically, being taken advantage of literally in all aspects, trying to fix and be there for others. You know, they literally put themselves to be a doormat and be like, okay, I'll do whatever, you know, to make you happy and to help you and to fix you. And, you know, in this aspect, and it's like, no, like, right. So there's a lot of pitfalls of people pleasing. One is completely degrading to yourself, and it can put you in those very vulnerable spots where now you're having to deal with trauma events, right? Being used, being manipulated, maybe even being molested. I've had a lot of people who put themselves in situations like that because of this whole people pleasing. And ultimately, no matter what aspect, like, you end up feeling drained for sure.
Yeah. You end up feeling drained. You end up feeling overwhelmed a lot too. And it's honestly one of those things where, you know, you end up feeling used, as in people want you for what you can do, what you can provide versus who you are.
Yeah.
And that builds a lot of resentment.
Yeah. And it does. And it really makes you feel like, well, why doesn't anyone want me for me?
Why don't I matter?
Yeah. Why don't I matter? Why don't my, you know, thoughts or opinions matter? And it's just like this, what about me? Like, don't I matter? And I can tell you, like, this was one of my breaking points. And I literally remember pacing the room back and forth, like with a, like, I don't know, it was like a chicken with its head cut off, like pacing. And like, right. And being like, what about me? Don't I matter? And I was like freaking twitching and like wigging out. And like, this was one of my breaking points, right? Of like, from just that overwhelming sensation of feeling used and like, I didn't matter as a person of who I am.
Yeah. And they also end up putting their purpose, like I was saying earlier, revolves around people pleasing. Like, it's also like, in this case, this is where it really shows up, is when with their kids, like when their kids start to move out, or when they get not even move out, they could even just get older to where they're not needed anymore. Let's just put it that way. Mm-hmm. Not to a high extent or very minimally. And what happens is they end up losing their identity, or they've already lost it, that point, but well before that, but their identity is they lose themselves in the roles of like wife, mom, provider, all these different things. And they end up in a place to where like, they're very resentful, bitter, angry. They lost themselves. They end up hurting also the growth of loved ones because they're enabling things, a lot of times bad behaviors, and don't let them fix their own crap. They don't let them grow. And they're like, well, I love them. I want to help them. It's like, no, you don't love them. Like, you really don't love them if you're fixing all of their issues. That's not love.
Yeah.
You're confused on what love is.
And, you know, I actually have a great devotion on this, and I read it consistently, you know, and I don't have it here with me, but the highlights of the devotion is when you're forever being so focused on being a rescuer, you're acting and stepping in like you're God, like you're playing God's role when you're being a rescuer and saving everyone. And you think it's your responsibility to fix everyone. That is not your place, and you are not God. It is not your place to fix everyone, to change everyone's mind, you know, or to condemn people, you know. No, like, that's not your job in that aspect. Like, it's really not. And it's it's such a great devotional in that aspect. And it really brought such a clarity to me. And so I have it as a reminder, right? Of just like, I'm not God. Like, it's not my job to fix people. You know, nope. I love people. And so, yeah, there's consequences, right? Like, people, they have to face their own consequences. They have to, you know, step into handling their own aspects. And we're designed, like, God designed us to all, you know, be able to carry our own weight, right? We're supposed to, and, you know, and then there's really big life events where, you know, we are supposed to come alongside of each other and assist, but not fix, right? So that's like with our program and our mentorship, and when we're coaching clients and those aspects, we're not doing it for them, but are we walking alongside them? Yes, right? In that aspect. And we're not being their savior, because that's not our place, but we are teaching them how to fix it, and we're helping them along that journey in that aspect, right? Because we don't want them dependent upon us, but they also, everyone has to learn how to handle and have the consequences for their own actions and take ownership of their life.
Yep. But also what happens here is their cup ends up empty, of course, all for a long time. And then it does fill up with resentment, bitterness, and anger. Mm-hmm. And this is when people are like, they get to this breaking point. And she did this too. But it's like, I'm just going to do me. It's going to do me. Imagine my hand just waving in the air. I don't know how to do that verbally, but just like, right. Just like imagine my hand waving in the air. I'm just
a lot of sarcasm.
I'm just going to do me, right? Your hip cock to the side. Like, I'm just going to put rules into place to get my way. Oops. I mean, boundaries. I meant to say boundaries. Sorry. But when it comes down to that, like, it's like that they're end up being a kid and throwing tantrums and like putting rules in place to actually just get their own way. They're not real boundaries. They're just rules to get their own way. And they end up in things like affairs, honestly, a lot of the time. They end up wanting out of the marriage. They end up wanting freedom, and I use air quotes there, from suppressing themselves for years on end. And they think they're controlled and all this other stuff. And it's like, dude, like, you're the culprit a lot of times. I'm not saying your spouse in a lot of instances hasn't had issues either. Of course they have.
Yes, they have issues.
Both have issues. A lot of them, probably. But like when it comes down to this type of stuff, like this is yours to take ownership of. Like they maybe have their own people pleasing stuff or not. Either way, they have their own crap to deal with. This is all you're doing. You are responsible for everything you create or allow in your life.
Yes. 100%. And so, you know, and how to stop this aspect, like you have to have that awareness and that humility to be able to say like, yes, like I have played a role. I chose to do these things. I'm the one who chose to put myself in all of these positions. I'm the one who says yes all the time and says no to myself. I'm the one who, you know, puts myself on the back burner and doesn't take care of myself. I'm the one who chose to enable all of this bad behavior. I'm the one who chose to allow people to walk all over me and use me. You know, I am that one. Like, it was like me. And it is actually one of the most powerful freeing aspects to recognize and be able to say that and know that, hey, one, you're not a victim of your life, but you have power. And to know that there are things that you can do to change it, that you're not waiting and dependent upon someone else to take action to have this shift and to get out of this pattern in this like place of just like such. Like, I don't even have the right words because it's such a misery life of being in this people-pleasing aspect. And you can put that smile on. I see right through it. There are so many of these people I know and they just smile. And I'm like, that is such like, it's a fake smile. And on the inside, they're dying on the inside. Right. And so like, this is one of those aspects of like, it's so empowering to know that there are things that you can do to change this, that you can actually cultivate great aspects, like great relationships all the way around. You can transpire into the marriage. You can fix relationships with friendships, with family, friends. You can change your work dynamic and all of that.
And don't kid yourself here. If you think this is going to stop with you and your kids aren't going to learn these type of ridiculous behaviors, you're wrong. This stuff right here, just ask Destinica. It will pass down from family member to family member to family member to family member. She is the first person in her entire family, for example, not to be codependent. So it will pass down from generation to generation to generation to generation. Don't kid yourself, it will. And so in order to stop people pleasing, no, you don't need to go on some long sabbatical, some long personal self BS discovery journey. Like you need to teach. I could teach you right now how to find yourself in 15 minutes or less. Honestly, that's easy as crap to do if you know what you're doing. We're like, well, I know what I need. I got it. Light bulb moment. Boundaries. Yes, you do need boundaries, but no. So you can't even become, you can't even really implement boundaries. And we go over this in our modules, but you can't even really implement boundaries at all, really, without knowing a lot of things. You got to know all your values, your principles, your beliefs. You got to know your identity. I could go a list, a long, long, long list of what you need to know to understand like how to really strategically implement boundaries effectively. Like if you don't understand these things, what are you really protecting? What are you really going to stick to? Do you really think that you're going to overcome that compulsive need if the desire and why isn't strong enough and grounded or rooted in the right things on a very core of you? No, you're not. No. So you need you need them, yes, but it's a very also smaller piece of the whole entire puzzle here.
Absolutely.
It's not one thing that's going to fix all of it. It's one system that's going to fix all of it, not one thing.
Yeah. And so all of it, you have to implement all of it together in that aspect. And so, you know, you do have to build all the right foundations. This is one of those aspects that's not like, oh, okay, so, you know, I'm going to do what Tommy said and just do boundaries, right? Or something, or just say no.
That's not what I said.
Right. Like, that's not what he said, just to clarify. That's not, it takes building all of the right foundations. So yes, learning boundaries, saying no, you know, taking care of yourself, like all of those are small parts of it. Yes. But, you know, one, like the mindset, like you have to build the right foundations in your mindset first. There's a lot that goes on here. And without addressing your mindset, your subconscious is going to overrule and you're going to keep the same patterns and behaviors because your subconscious is 95% of what you do on a day in, day out basis. So if you're only, you know, if you're not actually addressing your mindset and that 95%, you're not going to have change.
No, and you have to implement these. You have to implement, like, this is all the phases that we teach. We start with mindset phase, then we go to individual phase. And we teach everything, what it means to be a healthy individual. And then we go to being a marriage phase and relationships there. And then we go to tools last. But tools are honestly probably the least important thing in our entire program. You have to build all the right foundations in all the areas that we teach. And some people have asked us, like, or at someone the other day, it was kind of rude. They're like, well, Tommy thinks this is the only method that will ever work. Yes, I do. 100%. Thank you for recognizing that. And so, like, when it comes down to that, yes, we do believe this is the only thing here, but we're here to help because this is something that we originally did not want to do. It's not, we didn't want to be marriage coaches. This is not what we signed up for. But we were obedient. Unlike a lot of other people that want to do this, we did not want to do it at first, but we're here to help. And we just want to tell you the truth on what the core reasons are. Like, you need all these right foundations in all the key areas.
Yeah. And just to clarify, it wasn't our idea just to be marriage coaches because we weren't like, oh, hey, let's stand up and tell the world everything stupid we've ever done. Everything really humiliating and that you want to keep behind closed doors and all of our flaws and, you know, all of those aspects. Like, no, like that was not our idea. Nope. But in that aspect, like, God told us that we were going to do this and he was going to use our story as a redemption and also be able to help others. And so in that obedience, like, we get to do this now and help people break out of the same cycles that we were in and change generations. And I can't tell you how rewarding it is day in and day out watching my kids and interacting with other kids and even just around as a group of kids when my kids aren't there and just how differently, you know, ours act. I'm so thankful, like, of the mindset and just like where they are. And I'm like, yes, like, you know, we are getting to break these generational patterns so they're not continuing to be passed down.
I think honestly, in my opinion, our kids are more emotionally intelligent, resilient, and healthy individuals than 90% of adults. I'll be really honest with you.
And the reason why behind that, though, is what Tommy's saying is our society does not teach these things.
No.
They don't teach you emotional intelligence. They don't teach you true identity. You know, we did an exercise, you know, at an event not too long ago, and I was like, who are you? And doing that with so many different people and, like, having people like, who are you? It was all filled with different, like, roles and situations and, like, you know, task that they complete every day. And it's like, that's not who you are. It just shows that people have no idea who their true identity is. And they're like in the survival state of, you know, just existing. And so since our society doesn't teach identity, like true identity, that's why there's such a massive attack on identity from the enemy. And it's just look out into our world, you'll see it. And, you know, so between emotional intelligence not being taught, identity not being taught, hey, how do you handle conflict? Most people run around with conflict is bad. So guess what? They avoid problems and build up more resentment. So that's why we say that our kids are at that level is because we teach them these things where we teach them emotional intelligence and, you know, identity and like these aspects, because these are foundational, way more important than any college education.
Oh yeah. So, that's a whole nother topic. It cracks me up when people be like, I'd rather invest into my kids' college than my marriage. Yeah, that's a joke. But regardless, either way, like, our goal was today was to get you to really think about your life and how you're living it. It's time for a change.
Yeah. And this is one of those in that aspect. If you identify as a people pleaser and you're exhausted, because I know you are. People pleasing is exhausting, and it's put you in that failure state that you don't have to live like that. And there is so much peace and joy on the other side. I get it. I do. And I do not have the words to describe the inner peace that I have now compared to where I used to be when I was a people pleaser. And so just know that it is your choice. No one else's. It's your choice. And you can choose to shape the rest of your life. And if you're ready and you're ready for that that change, understand, like, if you want more, then you're going to have to become more. And no, it's not do more. You're actually find it's actually doing less, but it's doing the right things. And so it's not like, oh my gosh, I'm already tapped out. I don't know how I could do more. We're not asking you to do more. And in fact, it's going to be doing a lot less, and it's going to be really freeing.
Absolutely. But as always, we love you. God loves you, and he wants to see you thrive in life. So if you really want to stop this, it's in your power. But we love you. God loves you. And we'll see you in the next podcast episode. Have a good one. Bye. Now, that's all we have for today's show. And remember, prayer without action is just dead faith. So make sure to implement everything you learned here today from today's show.
By the way, hope you enjoyed this episode on the Marriage 2.0 podcast. And if you did, please make sure you share this episode on your social media and tag at Tommy and Desnica. And if you did enjoy it, make sure to subscribe to the Marriage 2.0 podcast and give us a 5-star rating.
However, listen, most importantly, so many people are at the end of their ropes, crying themselves to sleep every night. And we can only spread our message and story so far here. So we need you to make sure that you really share the knowledge with others that really need it so that we can impact them.
Yes. And you can find us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. So make sure to join our free Facebook group, Christian Marriage Coaching, for support, daily content, and free trainings to help you go from roommates to teammates.
Have an amazing day, and God bless.